Welcome to the Home Service Small Business Spotlight. I am your host, Arthur Yon, co-founder and CEO of Nest Protection Plan. We partner with restorers, contractors, real estate professionals, and other entrepreneurs to increase their revenue, grow their business valuation, and help them build a platform of services for homeowners across the country. We think every American family and property owner deserves peace of mind for their health, indoor living, and longevity, all for less than a dollar a day. Also, I love forming relationships. Add me on Facebook or LinkedIn today and let's connect. Oh, and stick around to the end of this episode. We'll reveal how you or someone you know can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Here we go. All right. What is going on? How's everybody doing? Welcome to episode number 59 of the Home Service Small Business Spotlight. I'm your host, Arthur Yon, and we are once again very, very thankful to have everybody tuning in. And we love our audience. We love that more and more people are listening to the show. We're growing. And so we want to thank you for listening to this. And we have a great guest. We're going to introduce him right now. We're going to jump right into the conversation. He is an executive coach. He's a business advisor, and he's based out of Houston, and he is Mr. Doug Thorpe. Doug, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Arthur. Happy to be here, and thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you being on, Doug. It's an honor, and I'm really excited to kind of jump in and start talking about everything that you're doing. But let's start off and introduce you further with the, with your background. Some you rose through the ranks as an Army officer, and now, of course, you are an executive coach. You're an entrepreneur, and you help people through leadership. Can you talk about your story some to everybody and how you got to where you are?
Yeah, happy to do that. And I'll try to keep it brief because it takes many turns. But yeah, I was commissioned in the Army after college, did an active duty tour with them, made it to the rank of captain, and then opted to exit and go into commercial work. I was recruited by a large regional bank here in the Houston area. At the time, it was called Texas Commerce. It turned out to be a legend among banks, and I was there for the ride. Our bank had a very powerful culture. It had a deep tradition of leadership development inside the organization. We served our communities very well. We were the number one rated bank in a lot of different categories for many years. But the achievement I really point to, our bank performed in a way that allowed us to have 64 consecutive quarters of earnings growth. That's 16 years of continuous earnings growth. And it took a culture and it took a dedicated leadership team to get us there and do that. And being a younger guy in my career, I just kind of assumed all banks work that way. And I only learned later that that wasn't all, true at all. So it was a great learning experience for me. But through a couple of mergers, our bank became Chase. We were the Chase Bank of Texas. And I was offered an early retirement at the ripe old age of 45. So took the money and went out and started a consulting business. And that's when I kind of was able to get back to my roots as an entrepreneur. And I really enjoyed those opportunities, getting to know business leaders and owners. And all throughout this arc, I have been a student of leadership and leadership development. I was introduced to it early on in my training to be prepared for the Army. And I just loved the topic and the theme and the principles. So I've continued to pursue it. I consider myself a lifelong learner on this subject. I have been doing executive coaching, and I've leveraged my banking background to provide the business advisory work that I do now. So I'm able to help small business owners with the big picture of what their business needs to be about, what the future can hold for them, and I help steer and guide them to those new levels of success.
That's amazing. And you threw in a term there that I really love, which is lifelong learner. And I think that that's something that people don't really, they think that some coach or some, you know, leadership mindset guru or whatever term you want to throw out there, that they can just somehow reach a level and they're full of all this information, knowledge to coach or to teach. But the real, you know, the real knowledge and the real power is behind what you said, is you never stop learning. It doesn't matter how much wisdom, how much insight you're sharing through all of your experience. I totally admire and respect that approach to, you know, constantly growing no matter where you are and what stage. So anyway, not to go on about that, but I want to shift over and I want to ask you a question. How do you approach risk strategy coming from your, you know, your military background and your decades of experience working through this, being in the boardroom? How do you approach the strategy behind taking risks in business?
Well, I guess I'll start with the idea that every kind of business has some form of risk. And you could almost argue that, heck, getting up in the morning has risk to it. You know, you want to get in your car and get out in traffic, you're taking some kind of risk. For an entrepreneur to be successful, they really need, if they haven't done it before and they're thinking about buying a business or jumping into business, they really need to do a deep gut check about how they feel personally about risk. And it's one thing to be smart about managing risk, and it's another thing to be so cautious that you cannot move forward. You won't accept opportunity and ideas because you're too afraid of the risk that goes with it. So I think the classic hallmark of an entrepreneur is the ability to learn and study what the risk might be, but then make an educated judgment about how much risk you're willing to take and then move forward with that risk.
That's very well put, Doug. I think that there's a balance there, and laying it out that way is a brilliant approach to it. So thank you for sharing that. And then let's shift over to, I want to ask, what are some ways that home service business owners, because you teach leadership, because you coach on developing and growing that mindset and how to be a strong, effective leader. What are some things that they can implement to become better leaders as they're running their home service businesses?
Yeah, typically where I start that discussion is that there is a clear and distinct difference between being a manager and being a leader. And someone can have a career, and quite honestly, I have seen owners who have successfully run businesses by being nothing but a manager. And by that, I mean, you know, doing the process, doing the thing that makes the business run. You can do that. The challenge will be if that's the only thing you ever embrace as the owner of that business, you are probably going to be suffering constant turnover. You're going to be running people in and out of your shop on a regular basis. You're constantly going to be in the market looking for talent to replace the good talent you lost. Why? Because you might have been a good manager, but you sucked as a boss. And when you start embracing the concept of what it means to be a leader, you get far deeper into the people side of the matter. And being able to lead, inspire, and influence the people that work for you is what builds a culture in a company. It is what builds a continuity in the company, a longevity. You know, there's nothing better than to meet a home service company owner who says, "All my team's been here for 10 years." Well, that is gold. That probably means you're doing a whole lot of things very well with your team, for the team, and for your business.
Absolutely. You know, I've seen that time and time again. There are a lot of headaches where people say, you know, I can't keep my employees, or there's a lot of turnaround, or, you know, they blame it on, you know, just the pay only, and that sort of thing. When it comes down to it, the ones that I've seen that have kept employees, you know, for like you said, 10, even 20 years, you know, some even more. And those employees are happy for a multitude of reasons, but the business is successful for, you know, the biggest reason, I think, is because of the culture, you know, that they've built. And so I think that's a great thing to point out, Doug. And you mentioned, when we were talking before the show, you mentioned the organization that you've done and had the most impact with through working with home service professionals. So can you talk more about that and some of the things you've been able to do with the home with professionals?
Yeah, happy to do that. The company we're talking about is called Acquira, A-C-Q-U-I-R-A. And if you go to the website, you'll see Acquira is an ecosystem for home service businesses. What we do, we help owners of home service who want to sell their businesses, we match them up with buyers who are interested in getting into the business. And we are not just a business broker by any means. We do quite a bit more than that. And I'll jump quickly to the buyer side. For the 30-something or 40-something individual who's been slogging it away in the corporate world and decides they want to launch out, become an entrepreneur, and create their own destiny, you can become an entrepreneur by acquisition, not by startup. And if you go to the market, there's an interesting phenomenon happening right now. There's something like 16 million businesses that are owned by baby boomers who are wanting to exit. They're of the age, they're ready to hang up their shingle, hang up their tool belt, and sail off on the boat or play golf or whatever those guys do when they want to do that. So there's a huge supply of opportunity out in the market, and there is plenty of opportunity. And even the SBA has turned their attention to this. They've adjusted some of their underwriting criteria, made it far more easy to access loans to buy these businesses. You can get up to $5 million funded with only 10% down. And there's a lot of ways to even cover that 10% part of it. But at Acquira, what we're doing is we are taking these want-to-be buyers through a journey of learning the process to do a good job of identifying the company they want, going in and negotiating for the sale, getting a fair deal for both parties. I stress that. We believe heavily in finding fair deals. And then preparing that buyer for the actual transition into the business. And that's specifically what I do because of my business advisory background and my coaching. I lead a team of what we call integrators who help these buyers move into the company. We are literally there, boots on the ground, on the day of closing. So we're with the new owner, walking through the transition process, meeting all the people, making all the announcements, doing all the changes that might be associated with that. But we're big on the idea we're not there to change the company like a private equity or a venture capital play might do. We are there to leverage and continue to grow whatever legacy the former owner created. And we make that real clear to everybody on the team that, you know, it's our intent. Nobody's going to lose their job because a new owner just randomly showed up, but rather we want to leverage what is already there and the success they've already achieved. And that's the only way they qualify to be in our scope. I mean, we have a very strict standard of the companies we want to introduce to this process. So it is a company that's already making money. They're not on their last leg, barely limping by. And it's a, you know, it's a do-over, makeover kind of deal. It's not that at all. It's an ongoing successful company that's the owner wants to sell out. And we bring these buyers in and equip them with every possible way they can to be successful.
Well, and I like that a lot because you're not just stopping at the negotiation and trying to, you know, reach a settled value or whatever the price is of the business. You're going far beyond that and setting out the pathway of how this business, you know. So how long do you keep Or do you kind of stay involved after the actual sale or the transfer of ownership? Do you stay involved kind of for a certain amount of
Yeah,
time on a
we
certain
do.
level?
Yeah, our the specific program we offer is called the ACE Integration Program, and ACE stands for Acquire a Certified Entrepreneur. It's somebody who's been through our front end program about learning the process of buying the business, but then the ACE Integration is that step of bringing in extra support, and we have a generalist lead integrator who looks at all aspects of the business and helps the owner, the new owner through the transition. We deploy a finance specialist to help them get the bookkeeping and the financial controls set up properly and get it oriented for ongoing success. And we deploy what we call a people and culture specialist to help them with all of their personnel matters and setting up a framework for the creation of a healthy culture to move forward. So you got three experts that are landing with you on the ground when you're taking this thing over and helping guide, steer, and direct. That program takes 4 to 6 months to execute. And we're there with you the whole way during that time.
Well, it sounds excellent, and it sounds like a way to ensure that if somebody wants to do it the right way and acquire a business the right way, you're going to help them do that. And I like the what you threw in there. It sounds like you're landing a plane, and you probably have some experience doing that. You know, steering it in, getting it down, and all that. And I think that it's a really excellent way for anybody that might be listening to that wants to get involved. I'm sure there are a good bit of people listening too that are thinking about getting into the home service sector. They're thinking about getting a business that exists. You know, startups can be very challenging. But Doug, can you share maybe an exit like one or two examples of, and you know, specific, but you don't have to name names necessarily, but specific examples of when you've been able to help that pro help someone go through that process, whether it's purchasing a home service business or just, you know, getting the culture created for that business to be successful. Can you share some an example or two of that?
Yeah, absolutely. We have one scenario. In fact, I was just visiting with this owner last weekend in Florida. He bought a plumbing company, and he's a guy that he's in his 40s. He's coming out of the wealth management world, and he just hit that place in life. He said, "You know, I'm tired of working for the man. I want to do my own thing. I've got a little bit of money built up. I'm ready to invest, and I want to do this." And he was able to close on the deal in June of last year. It did take about 6 months to get the closing put together. So there is just note to everybody, there is time involved on the front end. But he closed on the deal. We went in, helped him begin the integration process. And one of the first things we ran into, there were some personnel issues that had to be dealt with. There were some kind of hangovers from the way the prior owner had embraced some people on his team. There were some folks that had been at the company in the early going, but had not really grown and matured themselves with the way the business was growing. So we did have some tough talks with a couple of people and ended up with a friendly exit by those who were just kind of burning up money on the payroll and not really contributing much to the rest of the company. So those were resolved. Replacement personnel were identified for them, and the new owner was able to shop for people that fit a model or a vision of exactly what he believed he wanted on the team. And again, we kind of coached him to that. But he was successful in going to the market and finding those guys. And in since June, he has already identified two different opportunities. One added $500,000 to his annual bottom line. In another service line, those listening who are in the plumbing business know what jetters are. Well, this company had never owned a jetter and did not have that offering in the market. And he invested, he bought the jetter, sent two of his guys to school. And within the first week, he had a job that paid him back $15,000 for his investment toward the jetter. And that created a referral to a larger multifamily complex that had 20 buildings. And they signed him up for an annual service contract that was going to put that $500,000 on his bottom line. So great story there. And then he has subsequently already found an opportunity. There was a smaller business just about a block away that he was introduced to. He has already done a bid to buy them and roll them in. It's a complimentary service to his core plumbing business. And by the way, he's predominantly service, not construction. And it's now going to be about a $3.5 million topside business, probably this year. And with the jetter service growing, who knows where it's going to go from there. So,
well, and I mean, it's an impressive story. And then there's just, it shows you that there's so many ways to increase, you know, the amount of business you're doing if you're willing to, you know, invest a little bit more into a new technology, a new service, or a new platform. And of course, you know, implement strategies, implement, you know, leadership and cultural changes. And so let's talk some. You have a podcast that you've hosted for a few years now, Doug. And can you share with us how people can find you? What is the name of your podcast again?
The podcast is Leadership Powered by Common Sense.
That's right, because I like that common sense part. And so share with us how everybody can find you find that show on the platforms, how they can get in touch with you and your website and all those things. If we need to let everybody hear that.
Yeah, you bet. My primary website is just dougthorpe.com. That's thorpe.com. And there are links there to get over to the podcast. I do have a YouTube channel with the videos of the shows, the same name, Leadership Powered by Common Sense, or just Google me by name and it'll pop up everywhere. And the audio stream for the show is on all the major channels.
Okay, great. And just to add, just to note this too, Doug has been patient with me because we had a couple of technical issues before this particular show. So I want to thank him for doing that too. And that's one of the reasons I don't have everything in front of me. But nonetheless, this has been a great conversation, Doug. People definitely need to go check out Leadership Powered by Common Sense, which is Doug's podcast. And let's talk a little something kind of fun or interesting. How have you been able to maybe convey some stories, like Army stories or you know, times of whether it's a tactical story into the ways that people have approached their business mindset?
Well, I do have one favorite story that I have told often, and it has to do with the idea of if you're a younger person wanting to get into the business, like we were talking about with Acquira, if you want to buy a business, what's going to happen is you're going to show up on the job and there's going to be some folks on that team that are older, they've been there longer, they've been at the trade way more than you could ever imagine, even if you were doing it. And they're going to have their own ideas and mindset about how to do things. So the story I tell is when I was a young lieutenant, I got stationed at Fort Rucker, Alabama, the Army Flight School. And one of my first assignments, they gave me control of a mess hall. That's the big dining facility. And this was a big one because we were a training base. We had we served in that one dining hall. We served 1,500 meals every sitting. So 1,500 breakfast, 1,500 lunch, 1,500 dinner. So it was a big operation. And right as soon as I got assigned, they also transferred the mess sergeant, who's the guy that does the real work, right, in making that happen. I got a new guy. He showed up for duty big old fella from Mississippi. I'll never forget him. His name was Leonard Culliver. He was a master sergeant and, you know, almost 30 years in service. And he came in, I could tell he had an attitude. And he was kind of staring me down, glaring me down. And I was trying to meet and greet. And I had his file in front of me. And he had won every blue ribbon the Army had ever given out for awards on good work. And I was looking through his file, and finally I said to him, I said, Sergeant Culliver, I detect a problem here. What's going on? You got to talk to me. And he scowled even deeper, and he looked at me, and he says, I don't like officers in my mess hall. I said, okay. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I know you've won all these ribbons, and I know part of the reason is you know how to run the administrative part of this. You don't get these ribbons without having your paperwork right. Well, by regulation, I got to sign your paperwork. So we're going to have to figure out a deal on how we can make that happen. And here's my proposition. You call me every time you get stuff ready to go. I will come in your mess hall. I'll sign your paperwork, and I promise I'll walk out. If you keep operating that thing the way you've done all these other places, you and I will both be very happy. Is that a deal? He stood up and he had this huge smile on his face, stuck out his hand, shake hands. He goes, yes, sir, we got a deal. So I said, okay, that's cool. So next day the phone rings. Hey, LT, I got my paperwork. Can you come sign it? Sure, Sergeant Culliver, I'll be right there. So I walked across the parking lot, signed the paperwork, got up and left.
Wow.
Next day, phone rings. Hey, I got more paperwork. Okay, be right there. Walked in, signed the paperwork, turned around and left. Didn't even talk much. Third day, phone rings. I walk over there. Well, here's all the paperwork on the table, but there's six flavors of coffee, and there's about a dozen different pastries laid out in front of the paperwork. And I sat down, I signed the paperwork, I got up to leave. He goes, hey, I got this stuff. You know, you want to try these pastries and these coffees? I'm thinking about putting them out. I looked at him, I said, Sergeant Culliver, you don't like officers in your mess hall. And he just said, well, you know what, LT, I think you and I can work together. Why don't you have a seat? Let's talk a minute. And from there on, I had him. I mean, we had a great working relationship. But I think the point being, I was willing to invest those first two or three days of giving him his space and letting him learn to trust me for my word. And then he made the call of saying, you know, you look like a guy I could work with. I'm okay with that. Why don't you come on in here? Let's get together.
Yeah.
And it worked great.
That's awesome. I mean, it reminds me of some similar things that I've, you know, been through where, you know, or just even other people's experiences where you hear about they hire somebody, you could tell the person wants to do the work, but they've got that barrier, that shield they're putting up. And instead of just immediately reprimanding them because they didn't do a task right or something, you approach them with a little bit more of a peaceful mindset, right? And then you win them over. And that's what you did, Doug. And that's a really neat story. I really like that story. And, you know, I really appreciate you being on. I think a lot of people listening are going to benefit from getting in touch with you and help using you to help them, you know, transform the business, acquire a business if they're looking to get into a home service business. And why wouldn't you right now? I mean, this is going nowhere but up because everybody needs their homes maintained. Everybody needs services, right? Homes built, remodeled, and so forth. You know, I think that let me go through the website again. It's dougthorpe.com. That's dougthorpe.com. The business is Acquira. And you're also an executive coach, a business advisor, and the host of Leadership Powered by Common Sense. I know that's a lot. That's
you nailed mouthful, it. But... you got it all. Yeah. You got the whole baseball card right there.
There you go. We're running through the stats. But Doug, I really appreciate you being on. I think, is there anything else that anybody might want to know about getting in touch with you?
No, that's really it. I invite anybody, if you just want to have a chat about your situation, what you might be up against, whether you're running a business, owning a business, or thinking about it, feel free to drop me a line. On my website, there are buttons to click to get a schedule a free consultation. I'm happy to do that and love meeting business people and entrepreneurs. It keeps my juices flowing, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, and you've got a lot of experience doing this and helping and people grow businesses. Doug, thanks again for joining us. He's Doug Thorpe. That's Thorpe. He's business coach, and he's with Acquira, among many other things. And Doug, thanks again.
You bet, Arthur. Thank you.
All right. Well, and this has been another episode of the Home Service Small Business Spotlight. We appreciate you tuning in, and we'll see y'all next time.
Arthur Yon here. Thank you so much for listening to the Home Service Small Business Spotlight. If you are a successful restorer, contractor, or home service provider who would like to be on this program, please visit jointhenestteam.com/go. If you got something out of this interview, would you also share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag HSSB Spotlight. I love seeing your posts, love seeing your guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and your reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our website, jointhenestteam.com/go, or follow me on LinkedIn and Facebook. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.